G'day, my name is Anthony Patch, and this is another edition of Pulse. The title of tonight's Pulse recording is Russia Declares War Against NATO. Today is the 18th of August of 2024. This is a very important date. I want to speak specifically about the Ukrainian NATO, emphasizing NATO, invasion of Russia. I'd like to give you the strategic implications, the military implications of this declaration against NATO. You'll recall that about 2 months ago, Vladimir Putin made it very clear that should NATO invade Russian sovereign territory, should there be an extraordinary or exceptional threat against Russian sovereignty and Russian territory, that this could lead to the utilization of strategic as well as tactical nuclear weapons. Now, I do not have any information that says that the use of nukes is imminent, but that is the end point of today's presentation. This is the probable, highly probable consequences of what I'm about to present to you. Up to this point, Putin and his military leaders have designated their conflict with Ukrainian forces as a special military operation, an SMO, special military operation, as opposed to declaring this to be an actual war. Now, to a layperson such as myself, we would look at what is going on as an actual war. What this really implies is that Russia has a great deal more in terms of military capability, a great deal more to offer against Ukraine and now against NATO. So let me go to NATO and define that punchline for you. This invasion, it's not just an incursion, this is a full-on invasion launched out of Ukraine, obviously utilizing Ukrainian troops, but in this special military operation, the Russian forces have killed and therefore been able to identify the country of origin of those that they have killed in these battles, and they are military personnel as well as mercenaries from Germany, France, to a very lesser degree, the United Kingdom, but to a much larger degree from the United States. Russia considers someone who is a mercenary of U.S. origin as a U.S. soldier. There are also active duty U.S. military personnel functioning as advisors and guides and so forth and so on, but they are being killed on the battlefield. Therefore, they are soldiers engaged in warfare. There are U.S. supplied M1 Abrams tanks and armored personnel carriers, U.S. military artillery pieces, which include not just shells, but missiles, HIMARS, ATACAMS, etc., missile systems. There are British tanks. There are German tanks, German Leopard tanks. Some pronounce it Leopard, but it's also a Leopard, okay, for an American to pronounce it, along with a host of other ammunition and armaments and personnel on the ground. all from NATO. The Ukrainian troops themselves, as I reported in previous pulses, were repositioned from the Donbass battlefield. And these are the most experienced, highly trained, highly equipped Ukrainian forces that remain. And they were diverted to the Kursk region. Now, Ukraine has made a big public relations campaign out of their declaration of occupying, controlling over 1,000 square kilometers within Russia itself. Okay, this isn't just on the border. This is deeply penetrating into Russia. This violates Russian sovereignty and threatens the territory of Russia. The target right now for the Ukrainian forces is a major oil distribution center, as well as in Kursk, the Russian nuclear power plant generating electricity. So therefore, these are territorial targets within Russia that are being threatened. The reality of this is that all of these forces, NATO forces and Ukrainian forces, and all of their military equipment are about to be wiped out. Putin has stated, and his generals have stated, this is no longer a special military operation. They have declared war on actual war, declared war on NATO. Again, you'll recall a couple of months ago, I reported the statements of Putin at that time in which he stated that under international law, law regarding the fighting of wars, warfare, that it is within the Russian purview, they have the right to strike those countries that are supplying military logistical support, military arms and equipment, and even personnel. But he limited his warning at the time to logistical supply support. Okay, so bullets, bombs, rockets, missiles, tanks, that kind of thing. He left out the actual troops' boots on the ground from that scenario 2 months ago. But he said, we reserve the right to strike those countries if there are fighter aircraft being launched from, say, Poland, whether or not they're piloted by U.S. pilots or NATO pilots or what have you, the fact that those aircraft are being maintained, armed, fueled, and launched from Poland as but one example, then Poland is fair game to be targeted by Russia. Now this ripples out, because now this is a declaration of war against NATO. This ripples out to every member of NATO. Every one of those countries are now under what Putin then described as a horizontal escalation of warfare. This is what is about to break and why I'm presenting this pulse presentation to you right now. The horizontal escalation specifically against Romania and Poland is about to happen. And this should be appreciated that this can rapidly expand, for example, to Finland, where about 3 months ago we reported in our private live streams, before I was reporting on Pulse here on YouTube, that Finland, a member of NATO, a recent member of NATO, gave approval to the United States military to position military equipment and boots on the ground at 15 Finnish military bases. Now you can appreciate that Finland and Russia have adjoining borders. The plan was for the United States to forward deploy troops from the United States, from continental United States, first landing in Norway, then moving through Sweden and then being stationed in these 15 military bases in Finland. Guaranteed, Russia is going to strike Finland. The next, let's go to the source of these much vaunted and ballyhooed 40-year-old F-16s that were supplied by Denmark, a member of NATO. Denmark is now obviously going to be a primary target. Let's go to the tanks in particular that are supplied by Germany, the United Kingdom, and France. Those are all primary targets now. You're not going to see tanks rolling across Ukraine, coming from Russia into Europe. You're going to see missiles. I'm not at the point of saying that these will be nuclear-tipped missiles. More than likely, these will be conventional high-explosive missiles, but nonetheless, there are going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Europe that are going to be killed. I'm not trying to present this in a so-called hysterical fashion. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm presenting to you the reality of the situation as I see it today. Now, beyond those NATO countries, other NATO countries also. Hungary, from their standpoint, they've been trying to bring peace between Russia and Ukraine, Russia and NATO at large. But unfortunately, they are also going to be targeted. So this horizontal escalation is the picture that I'm leaving with you today. The United States knows that these forces that are occupying Russian sovereign territory, out beyond Ukraine now, that these forces will eventually come under massive attack. Now with this declaration of war, it is no longer a special military operation. The full weight of the Russian military is about to be brought down in the Kursk region against these Ukrainian / NATO forces. It is well understood in military strategic thinking, military operations, that when a military force, small or large, is in retreat, they are the most vulnerable. These forces are about to start retreating from this area. When they are in full retreat, they are the most vulnerable. Russia certainly understands this. Now, with a declaration of war, this is no longer limited warfare. This is no longer limited strikes at a defined battle line, the front line. This now gives legal authority to the Russian government to destroy every one of those military soldiers and all of the military equipment, even if they are in full retreat. Putin and his generals have already stated that they are going to completely destroy every one of these soldiers and all of the equipment that were part of this invasion and occupation of Russian sovereign territory. They're not holding back now. So what would be the anticipated response by way of NATO, but more specifically a U.S. response to this annihilation in progress when it unfolds? And this, I think, will begin to unfold in a matter of days. This assault precipitating a retreat and the complete elimination of this invasion force beginning, I think, in the next few days. What will be the response from the United States? I'm only one person, one observer. I'm not a military expert, so take it for what it's worth. But my expectation is that the United States will escalate. They will double down. Meaning, missiles launched by the U.S., more drones with bombs and guided missiles, precision guided bombs and precision missiles, smart bombs, smart missiles, from aircraft as well as missiles fired out of Ukraine itself. Now we're talking about longer range, almost into the range of strategic, but still these are, you might call them medium range ballistic missiles with conventional warheads as a double down response, firing at the Russian military coming against this invasion force and putting them into full retreat and with orders to eliminate them entirely. The U.S. will be firing over this retreating force at the Russians to try to minimize the effect of the Russian forces on the backside, on the retreating side of these invading military forces. That will precipitate an even larger response by the Russians against the United States, against NATO itself, and all of these horizontal targets will be struck by missiles from Russia in Europe. Let's go to the worst case scenario. This would be CONUS, continental United States. Now we're getting into intercontinental ballistic missiles. We are talking about strategic nuclear missiles being launched against the United States itself. That's the direction it appears to me that things are heading. Now, it's easy to try and discount that the U.S. would come under such a geographical attack, that we would personally here in the U.S. be hit by Russia. We need to understand what Putin has said for many months. And I'll say it again. If Russia is facing an exceptional threat to its sovereignty and its territory, they reserve the right and have already issued the orders. The orders are given. The orders are signed to all of the commanders of the missile systems that can launch ICBMs. They no longer need any further orders from Moscow. They have their orders. They know what the criteria for launch is. My estimation is, let's go back to the retreat and the large military, Russian military forces coming against the retreating NATO forces, Ukrainian forces, such that the U.S. launches intermediate missiles out of Ukraine against the advancing Russian forces. I believe that is the final line at which these pre-issued, pre-signed orders, when those missiles are launched by the U.S. to protect the retreating forces coming out of Kursk, that will be the point at which those orders are executed, and ICBMs, probably a limited number, but certainly a launch of ICBMs on the U.S. itself will take place, because the U.S. pushed Russia into this, crossing one red line after another. Now, according to previous statements made by Putin, this invasion alone into the Kursk region should have triggered ICBMs against the United States. Even stepping back and de-escalating from that level, it should have triggered the launching of tactical nukes against this invading force, entering into sovereign Russian territory. That was Putin's stated red line. He has shown restraint. I'm sure he's under a lot of pressure to have already used tactical nukes. And he may yet use tactical nukes, but I think he recognizes that conventional kinetic warfare will take care of these invaders. You see, they've pushed so far into Russia that now they can be enveloped. And in my last live stream, I illustrated this. But they can be enveloped to the rear, preventing a retreat, and thus surrounded. They can be wiped out with conventional means. Tactical nukes won't be necessary. They will be cut off from resupply. But if the U.S., in response to this surrounding and then extermination, launches missiles against those Russian forces, I believe that is where Putin is going to say enough is enough. Because 3 days ago, he said the gloves have come off. There is no opportunity for any negotiations, for any ceasefire, for any peace agreement. No longer will we negotiate. Okay? That actually was a declaration of war 3 days ago. Now he's talking about, with the evidence in hand of U.S. forces on the ground and NATO forces in general on the ground in this invading force on Russian territory. See, it was bad enough that there were Russian, it was bad enough that there were NATO troops in Ukraine launching into Russia missiles and artillery and bombing missions. The boots on the ground was it for Putin. He said, no, the gloves are coming off now. That's a declaration of war. And now he has demonstrated to the world that these are actual NATO personnel in Russia. So the extermination is going to happen in the next few days. If the U.S. escalates, doubles down, and launches missiles into sovereign Russian territory against these forces, and especially go back several months where we reported on drone attacks against the early warning radar installations in Russia itself, which precipitated then the statements from Putin in which he said, if you, in an extraordinary set of circumstances, threaten the sovereignty and the territory of Russia, that would cross the line for us to use tactical nukes. That was several months ago, talking about the attacks against their radar installations in an attempt to blind Russia to the incoming tactical and intercontinental strategic missiles from the U.S. and from NATO. And that was several months ago. Now he has boots on the ground from NATO. And he's moved from a special military operation to a full-blown declaration of war against NATO. Therefore, if we are so stupid, the U.S., to double down and launch missiles against this escalated military force in Kursk to eliminate the invaders, if we double down with missiles, that, I believe, is the point at which European NATO sites, in that horizontal escalation that Putin describes, they will be hit with conventional missiles. If that precipitates a nuclear response by European NATO nations with tactical nukes, and it is anticipated that by Russia that the U.S. will launch intercontinental strategic nuclear missiles, then Russia will preemptively strike the United States itself. This is how serious the situation is right now. We've been looking at and reporting on the Middle East for weeks. I'm not taking my eyes off the Middle East and what's going on there. It is possible that with this scenario that I just laid out with respect to sovereign Russian territory, that when that escalates, when the retreat starts, watch. When the retreat starts, if Russia encircles and begins to destroy the retreating forces that are now trapped and prevented from retreating, at that point, I believe things in the Middle East will concurrently erupt into a regional war. Russia is already supplying Iran and has been for weeks. We've covered all of that. Electronic warfare, additional surface-to-air missile defense systems, the S-400, and so on and so forth. Israel does not have the ability to fly aircraft against Iran. It's a simple matter of geography and time of flight. Any aircraft leaving from Israel attempting to cross the border into Iran must undergo at least one airborne refueling, which they have the capabilities of doing, but presents them as a very vulnerable target when they're refueling, and even the flight time. So Israel, understanding that vulnerability, I'll cut it short here. I do expect Israel preemptively to launch all of their nukes at all of their pre-designated targets at about 240 degrees in circumference, rough partial circumference. All of their enemies around them with tactical nukes. They don't have the ability to engage in a protracted, sustained battle with anyone. They haven't even been able to do that with Hamas in their back door. The only option, as I see it, on the part of Israel, when Israel does strike against Iran, the first strike will be nuclear. And then the allied surrounding targets. Russia understands this. Iran understands this. While Russia is dealing with the Ukrainian situation, the Kursk situation, as I just described it, concurrently out of Iran, they're going to have to deal with Israel. Again, I'm not taking sides. I'm just reporting this. If we see, again, Russia surrounding the invaders in Kursk, and the U.S. doubles down and launches missiles against Russia into sovereign Russian territory, I'm talking ATACMS, okay, with conventional warheads, then Russia is going to go to the nuclear option, but not before they strike horizontally NATO bases with conventional warheads. If the response by the U.S. are tactical nukes, because NATO bases are being hit with conventional incoming missile attacks, conventional warheads, at that point the U.S. will go to tactical nukes against Russia. Russia, in anticipation of that, will launch ICBMs against the U.S. and NATO in general. Concurrently, Russia in Iran will launch tactical nukes against Israel. That will be in response to Israel preemptively launching. These will be simultaneous launchings out of Iran and out of Israel, because the Russians will detect what's going on in Israel, and it will be nearly a preemptive, simultaneous launching of tactical nukes out of Iran, out of Syria, out of Hezbollah in Lebanon, I have no doubt in southern Lebanon they have tactical nukes. And out of Yemen. Because Russia supplies the Houthis directly. This is how close we are to a full-blown nuclear war. Again, I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm giving you an update on what's going on and what I'm expecting to happen. So as the takeaway in conclusion, watch this invasion in Kursk while you off on the sidelines keep an eye and an ear on what's going on in the Middle East, because that's going to trigger off imminently. But for now, if you want to call it the clear and present danger, if the Russian forces cause a retreat to be initiated by this invading force into Kursk, because this is now war declared against NATO, if you see that happen, that the retreat is initiated, then more than likely you're going to see missile attacks launched by the U.S. out of Ukraine against those Russian forces in the Kursk region. From that point on, the Middle East will probably get triggered on the part of Israel. And then it's rapidly going to escalate from that point. If one tactical nuke is detonated, that lets the nuclear genie out of the bottle. And from that point on, there is no putting the genie back in the bottle. It's done. Rapid escalation to intercontinental ballistic missiles being used against the United States and Europe by Russia, China, North Korea, and probably Pakistan. Pakistan specifically targeting Israel. That's where we are as I see it, folks. Please join us for further details through anthonypatch.com in our private live streams, where I can share with you what is really the causal factor, as I call it, for everything that I've just described. This is spiritual. Let me put it in more familiar language. This is demonic activity. This is pure evil acting through human beings. There's no other explanation for what appears to be completely delusional on the part of any of the parties involved. You and I, as lay people, sit back and look at all this and go, why can't you guys just negotiate? Why can't you talk? Why can't you stop all of this? All you have to do is talk to each other. But nobody's talking to anybody. This is the satanic, Luciferian, Antichrist spirit unleashed throughout the world now. I can't give you the reason that it's been unleashed. I can share that in our live streams. But if you really want to understand the mechanism that is at work through humans, beyond just talking about military and military strategies and politics, go to anthonypatch.com, subscribe to our private live streams. There will be one tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, for 2 hours, every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday of every week. You'll have access to over 850 two-hour live streams going back to 2018. And all of our monthly magazines, Entangled Magazine, going back to June of 2017. Huge archives of information available for you. So please join us there where I can speak more freely. We abide by the community standards of YouTube. No problem there, no issue there. That's why we created a private live stream platform, and we have our own chat room. We call it Band. That's the Band platform. And it's a private, safe learning environment for people to learn about what's going on in the world, but specifically to look at what's going on in the world through the lens of the Holy Spirit. God bless you all.